I don't know if you've ever met Ross Mitchell, our voice there of Coast to Coast AM. He lives in Reno, Nevada. Amazing. Ross is only about 4 feet, 2 inches tall. He's just a little person. But what a set of pipes. Absolutely incredible. Hey, by the way, Monday, when we open up our Skype line, the first Skype caller on Coast to Coast, you get 10 books, whoever that may be, because it's kind of historical, new technology added to regular phones. So the first Skype caller on Monday night, we're going to get you 10 books from past Coast to Coast guests. How about that? Back in a moment with your phone calls, more open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to San Diego right now. MJ, west of the Rockies. Good morning, MJ.
Oh, I love your program. I'm so glad I discovered it about 3/4 of a year ago.
Well, great. I'm glad you found us. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be in San Diego on March 13th. You need to come down to the San Diego Air and Space Museum.
I will definitely be there, God willing.
Okay, good. I'll be there from 10 to noon. I'm doing the show there at our affiliate Friday night, and then they've got this event called Science of Aliens.
I feel like I'm an alien. Hey, when I was real young, my parents had 5 kids, and we were at the grocery store. My brother was sick. My mom got the groceries and everything, and she says, well, Tommy's sick, and he needs to go to the dentist, but I can't keep the appointment. And I said, hey, Mom, give him a call. And my mom goes, no, I want to go over there. I asked her again, Mom, please call him. And she says, no, I want to go see him. And I think she was having, like, feeling towards him because she was kind of unhappy with my dad.
Ah, like the old dentist, huh?
So she goes, and we're driving. She had a full tank, just filled up the tank full of gas, all these groceries and everything, and we're heading off, plus our cat. And we're going to the dentist, and it had been sprinkling, and we were going up this hill, and she had it floored, and it was doing about 70, and it was a 54 Plymouth station wagon.
What was she doing?
Being crazy.
Yeah.
So we're going up this hill, and she's really got the floor down to the, you know, the gas pedal down to the floor. And as we approach the top of the hill, the rear end starts sliding out because it was a little bit of a bend.
The old fishtail.
Yeah, and so we're sliding sideways for a little bit, and then it got, like, traction again, and it started to go forward, and there was an embankment there, and we went up the embankment, and then the trees started turning sideways, and I go, wow, just like in the movies. So, the 54 Plymouth station wagon flipped, the roof went into the dashboard, and I was sitting in the passenger side, called the suicide seat.
Oh, well, you're still with us, MJ.
Huh?
You're still with us.
Yeah, I'm still with you. I've come to so many close calls, there must be an angel watching over me. But, so, comes out, I didn't have a scratch on me, but my other siblings had various types of injuries. One of my sister had road burns on her arms, and all the windows had been closed, and we never figured out how that happened to her. But so, she had all these little marks on her arms, and so they said it was road burns.
So you never got to the dentist?
No, we didn't get to the dentist. We all went to the hospital.
So did your mom ever run off with the dentist?
No, but she did divorce my dad.
She did. That did happen. So you sensed it. You knew.
Well, you know, I warned her twice. I warned her about the speedometer, and I warned her 3 times. The speed and the 2 phone calls.
I love it. All right. See you in San Diego.
I hope so. I'd like to shake your hand. Your show is just amazing, and I'm so glad. And I hope you let us know when you're on Dateline.
Nightline
or whatever.
Dateline, some dating service show, isn't it?
No.
No, I know that. I'm kidding.
I get my programs mixed up because I don't generally watch that program.
It could be on next week. I can't say for sure yet.
Well, I hope you let us know. Okay. I listen every single night.
All right. Yeah, the producer called us. They're done editing it. It's a great piece, 6 to 7 minutes long. And we just need to find the exact moment they're going to pop it in. Maybe it'll be a slow news day and they'll use the show. That's one of the things. Nightline generally is delegated to hard news, but they see a trend happening on this planet. They see a trend happening specifically in North America, and people are turning to this program by leaps in this show on this, and that's going to need. But in L.A., L.A. Times coming out this Sunday in the magazine, which is a great feature story about the program. So just make sure those of you who get the L.A. Times, you go and pick it up. And if you're in a different city, just go to your famous newsstand and pick up the Sunday edition of the L.A. Times. It's in the magazine section of that. Let's go to Wanda in Sonoma County in California. Hello, Wanda.
Hi, George. I thought I would call and tell you a really great story about the evening that I met Francis Crick, the man that...
The DNA man.
Yeah, he co-founded or co-discovered the structure of the DNA molecule with James Watson.
Where did you meet him?
Well, it was in the early 80s. I was living in Paris, France, and I was attending a conference on vision at Cambridge University in England. And we had dinner that night at a hall that... The hall in the Harry Potter movies is a duplicate of the hall that we had dinner in. So it was really cool. And there was about 60 people there, and they were the top vision researchers in the world. So it was a great dinner, and everybody had a great time. And they announced that the guest speaker was going to be Francis Crick. And I thought, that's really weird, because this guy's a geneticist, and what does he know about vision? You know, I thought, oh, this is going to be really boring. So he was somewhere between 70 and 75 at the time, and he was really tall, about 6'5", kind of balding, and kind of looked like your typical English tall gentleman. So he got up there, and you have to realize that the audience were the top vision researchers in the world, like I said, and he got up there and started talking about vision. George, he knew more about vision than everybody in the room put together. It was, I mean, I was so blown off the map, my mouth was just dropped open through the, he talked for about 45 minutes, and you could have heard a pin drop, and everybody, it was a really humbling experience for everybody in the room, because he knew so much, and they all thought they knew so much. And so after the dinner, I went up to him and told him that I thought that his talk was just fabulous, and he blew everybody off the map. And he kind of looked down the floor and sort of shuffled like a little kid and said, oh, he says, I just really don't know that much. It's just my side hobby. And I said, well, your side hobby, you know, you ought to be specializing in this, because, you know, you really know an awful lot. So I had my dinner menu with me, and I said, you know, I've never asked anybody for their autograph before, but I would be really honored if you would sign my dinner menu. And he looked at me, and I was probably at the time in my mid-30s, and he was, like I say, about 70, 75-something. And he looked at me, and he said, what's your name? And I said, my name is Wanda. And so he said, I'd be happy to sign your menu. So I handed him my menu and a pen, and he signed the menu, and he handed it back to me. And like I said, I told him I had never asked anybody for an autograph before. And he said, Wanda, I've never signed an autograph before like that. And he turned as red as a tomato, and I looked down at the dinner menu, and it said, to Wanda Smith, love, Francis Crick.
I love it. That is great. How cool is it? Do you still have that?
Oh, you bet. And, George, you had horses at one time, right?
I sure did.
Okay, well, I have cutting horses, and I just finished writing a book called Horses of the Wine Country, and there's a great story in the book. I'm going to send you the book about a horse named Lou Dillon that was the fastest harness racing horse in the United States in the late 1800s, and one of my friends is Katie McMurray. She's a daughter of Fred McMurray, and she's thinking about writing a screenplay on it and making a movie, because this horse, the only time she was beat was when somebody snuck into the barn and drugged her, and she won every race she ever raced. She was born and raised in Sonoma County by the Pierce brothers. And after she retired, she had, I think, 5 or 6 babies, and they all became racing champions. And they took her to Europe, and she was so popular in Europe, and people were so awed by her speed that kings and queens and nobility all over Europe gave her gold-entrusted trophies. And the first time she ever raced, she was raced against the champion of California and the retired champion of California. She was, I think, 2.5 or 3, and she hated to get dirt in her face. So
a lot of horses are that way. They don't like
that. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. So the fellow that was, he was a very famous, he was the most famous trotting horse driver in the United States. He held her back. And because he knew that if she got dirt in her face, she'd go ballistic, and she was kind of a high-strung mare anyway.
So most of them are. Kidding, yeah. Just kidding.
So when he came to the stretch, he let her loose, and people said, and this was like in the late 1800s, that when she went flat out, she passed those two champion stallions, one stallion and one gelding, like they were tied to a fence post.
That's
and
great.
Her name was Lou Dillon, and we're going to get try to get a movie made of her.
Standardbred was the breed. Right?
Yeah, yep. That's right. Okay. And I'll send you the book that I wrote that has the story in it.
All right. Thanks, Wanda.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Next up, we go to our great storyline in Wallingford, Connecticut. Tom, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, George.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, geez. I've been listening to Coast for the past 8 years, and let me tell you what, it's an honor to talk to you.
I'm glad you have been part of our family, Tom.
Hey, listen, I got a story that I think you might find interesting.
Okay.
When I was younger, I was about 11 years old or so, my parents used to bring me up to Woodstock, Connecticut, to a campground up there. Most people came to the campground on Friday as opposed to Thursday. It just happened to be my dad's work schedule that we were able to go there on Thursday.
Just to get ready for the weekend, I guess.
Right, yeah. He was able to take Friday off, so we left on Thursday. Left the house on Thursday. I'm bored to tears. You know, there's nobody around, nobody to talk to, because nobody shows up till tomorrow night. So one of the things that we used to do as kids was we would hike around the lake. There was a nice fishing lake there, and we would hike around the lake, and it was a nice moonlit night, and I decided I'm going to take a walk around the lake because I got nothing better to do.
All by yourself, right?
I'm sorry?
All by yourself?
Oh, yeah. No, it was just something that we'd been going there for so many years. I mean, we've probably been going there since I was probably, 6 years old, so it was just a common thing that we did as kids, it probably took about an hour to walk around the lake, not a big deal.
Yeah.
One night in particular, it was a Thursday night, and I was bored to tears, like I said, and, there was nobody around, and I said, I'm just going to go for a walk around the lake. It was a beautiful night. I mean, stars, the moon was shining. I mean, it was just beautiful. So, I decided I'm going to take a walk around the lake. Now, I made it about halfway around the lake. And the whole time, my dad always told me, don't be afraid of nothing at night, because there's nothing there at night that isn't there during the day. So there's no reason to be scared. So I always walked with confidence. You follow me?
Sure.
And I swear to you, I felt like there were, you ever feel, I get that feeling where someone's looking at you?
Yep.
You know? And you're in a room, and you feel like someone, you turn around, there's somebody staring at you. Well, I feel like someone's watching me.
You can feel the eyes on
you. I can feel it burning in my back. And I'm walking down the trail, and I stop, and I'm listening for somebody behind me. There's nobody behind me. So I keep walking, and oh, my God, I swear to God, there's somebody behind me. I swear there is, right? So I stop, and I'm listening. And I notice that there isn't a cricket cricking, there isn't a friggin', there's the woods is dead silent.
And it should be noisy.
It should be very noisy. I should hear frogs croaking, crickets cricketing,
Fish jumping in and out of the lake, everything,
that sort
right?
of thing. And all of a sudden I get a fear of dread over me like you wouldn't believe. So I take off back from my tent, and I'm running, and I'm running, and I'm running. And I made it back to my tent in lickety-split time. And I get in my tent, and I jump into I get in my sleeping bag, and I pull the sleeping bag over my head, and I look at my watch. I had one of them blow watches that
uh-huh.
were popular back then. And it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I left at 11 o'clock at night.
Where'd the time go?
That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know, George. I've been dying to tell you this story since I've been listening to you.
You think you might have been abducted?
I can't say. I don't remember seeing anything. I don't remember hearing anything other than what I've explained to you.
Any nightmares later?
I'll tell you what. It's funny you ask. I have night terrors. Every time if I move or if I go to a hotel or if I'm sleeping at like my brother's house or a relative's house or what have you, I get night terrors, even in my own house.
You want my take on this, Tom?
Sorry?
Something happened to you and you've blotted it out. Whatever it was. That's what I think. What do you think?
I would say you're the expert, so you're the first person I've ever really talked to about this.
Now, the question is, would you take hypnosis? Would you go under a hypnotherapy course to find out what happened?
I think that's in line because the night terrors are getting worse. I think that would be in line, yeah.
Go to a Dr. Bruce Goldberg on our website in the archive section.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. Bruce Goldberg.
Bruce Goldberg. Send him an email. He'll probably have a hypnotherapist out there in Connecticut that could help you.
Wow, that's dynamite. That's really
And
dynamite.
Then I want to know what happened, all right? So follow up with me.
I guess I just leave an email on your on your site.
Absolutely. And then we'll get you back on the show.
All right. Thanks a lot, George. I really appreciate you taking my call.
I think that's probably what happened to you. Something, whether you are abducted by aliens or something else, something is causing you to blot out 6 hours of time. And that's a mechanism in your brain to protect you. And maybe through hypnotherapy, you should find out what it is, especially if you're having these night terrors. Let's go to Annie in Savannah, Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Hello, Annie. Good morning.
Hey, George. God bless you.
You too.
You know, Joshua P. Warren was talking about the people in black, men in black.
Yes.
And then tonight, your latest guest, Mark, was talking about the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my life is seemingly in and out of the Twilight Zone, but I wanted to share a dream that I had with you.
All right, go.
In this dream, I was in a field, and there was this huge rock that was sticking up partly out of the ground. It was probably about 4 feet high, and I had climbed up on this rock and was sitting on it. And off in the distance, about 20 feet, maybe not quite that far, there was this huge goat that had long, shaggy hair, and it was real angry. It started pawing the ground, and it ran toward this rock, and it butted the rock. The rock didn't move, but it vibrated.
And you're up there on top of it.
Yes. And when the goat hit the rock, knocked it back just a few feet. Well, nothing didn't happen at that time, and it backed up again. It ran up again the second time, and it done the same thing again and butted the rock. And when it butted it that time, the ground cracked like, you know how you've seen a mud hole that has dried up, the sun has made it crack
in
it?
Yeah.
The ground all turned like that, and the goat backed up again. It ran back up the third time and butted it again, the rock. And when it butted it the third time, the whole earth all fell in around this rock.
What happened to you?
I was laying on the rock with my hands holding, grasping the rock on one end and my feet trying to hold on to the other.
And down you went?
No, I was still steady on the rock.
But where the rock went all the way down, didn't it?
But yes, the rock went all the way down. It didn't have no bottom.
With you on it?
Yes, and it was still standing up, though, the rock was, but the whole earth had fallen in all around it.
There's some symbolism there. Well, reach into your pocket. Do you have some pennies? Because that's all about the Streamlink's costing you these days. Pennies a day. If you want to sign up for Streamlink, just go to coasttocoastam.com. You get podcasting, downloads, past archives, iPhone apps, and they're working on apps for other phones now as well. Fast technical department. They're moving along. We'll be back in a moment at Coast to Coast AM. Yeah, another week or so, moving into March. And then also in March, don't forget, daylight saving time, you do the switch. You know, spring ahead, fall back. So you move the clock up 1 hour again and get that extra hour of sunlight, right? All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Rich in Columbus, Ohio. Rich, thank you for holding so long, by the way.
Hey, George Norrie.
Yes, sir.
Hey, nice to talk to you. I love the show.
Great.
Love the show. I thought maybe this was Dateline for a second. No, I love your sense of humor. That's what I don't think most of your callers get it, but I do every time.
I have a very strange sense of humor.
No, it's great, though. I get it every time, and they never do. But that's definitely what makes the show. And the other thing that's great about your show is the politics, the lack of politics.
Lack of, that's right.
Correct. I know who to listen to if I want to listen to politics. I don't listen to this show for the politics, and I'm glad you keep it out.
As much as I can. You know, sometimes a news story pops in, but I try to keep it apolitical.
Exactly. Yeah, because I really don't care what your stands are politically.
Good.
I like hearing the ghost stories and stuff, so it makes it fun. I found you about a year ago. I was listening on a Friday night to Open Lines and, you know, heard these ghost stories. I'm like, what in the world am I listening?
Yeah, who is this guy?
Yeah, I've been hooked ever since.
Super.
That's great. So same boat as everybody else, third shift worker. You know, that's how I found you.
Well, you've got a great city you're in, except for the fact that you beat my Michigan Wolverines all the time lately.
Yeah, sorry about your luck there.
Yeah.
But the wife's a graduate from Ohio State.
So, is she? Good school.
So I got to stick with the Ohio State.
Yep, got to do that.
Hey, are you going to come to Ohio anytime?
Well, it's not in the plans. I've been there before, and I love the state. I should go there again.
Okay, I'll keep my eye on your schedule.
Okay.
I'd love to see you sometime. Hey, I got a great story for you. Back in 94, 95, I got my first real job. Minus mowing yards and shoveling snow.
Yeah.
I got a job at the library, the Mansfield Library. It's an old Carnegie library, actually. It's pretty neat, old library. My job title was an audiovisual page, which that means I shelved things. I put things back away, you know, that people ran or whatever.
Sure. How old were you then?
I was 18 years
old. Okay.
$4.25 an hour. 15 hours a week, so, you know, whatever.
You were rich.
Oh, yeah. I was living at home with the parents, whatever. You know, it's gas money. So I was, it was the video department. You know, we're talking VHS. You know, this is before DVD.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I think we had the whole collection of the Twilight Zone movies on VHS. I've never seen a Twilight Zone movie, but I know you're into them. You love them. I mean, that was even your first guest on Twilight Zone. But anyway, we had, it seemed like, about 30 copies, you know, on VHS. And, you know, every once in a while, I would go back there and look, and there would only be, like, 5 copies left. Most of the time, there was 30, and it was always there.
So people were checking these things out.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So I kind of knew. Well, like I said, every once in a while, there'd be, like, 3 or 4 copies left. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? It was like clockwork, George. Every time I would go home and look at my calendar, it was full moon.
I love
I knew you would love that story.
That's cool.
And I'm glad I was able to get through and tie it in with your, you was talking about Twilight Zone earlier.
It's
tonight.
Perfect timing, I tell you.
Yeah, and I know you love the full moon analogies and the Twilight Zone. So there you go.
Well, did you ever sneak a peek of those Twilight Zone episodes?
No, I never did. I was never into it, but I don't know. My curiosity is definitely sparked.
You've got to go get some of them. You've got to. Trust me on that.
Yeah, I have to look at it. Hey, and the Ouija board thing. Yeah, I stay away from that.
Yeah, don't do it.
My mom played around with one. She said, no way. And we was at Toys R Us at Christmas time, and the wife's like, oh, why don't we get a Ouija board? I said, no way.
But they're selling.
My radio program said, you know, don't mess with it. So, yeah, there's no way.
All right, good for
it. I wouldn't do it. But, hey, you guys have a prayer list going, don't you?
Yeah, on Fridays, you send me an email with the person, could be yourself, and the reason, and you're on the list.
Okay, so you do it through email, not by calling.
Right.
Okay, all right. Hey, George, thanks.
All right, Rich, be well. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate
Okay, let's go to San Diego. Hello, Jason. Go ahead.
How you doing tonight?
Okay, good.
Well, I have a story and a possible suggestion for a previous caller who's saying that she has night terrors and
all right.
For a long period of time, I studied shamanism, and I know shamans have power to go between, I guess, spirit worlds.
Yes, they do. Most of them. Good ones.
They can bring back soul fragments, and they can do extraction. So that might be a good help to her.
How did you get involved in that?
I practiced witchcraft first.
Oh, really?
And I practiced that for 4.5 years, and I tried to kind of mingle the two forms together. I mean, they're two pretty similar, but I wanted to kind of mingle the two together. And I found shamanism just fascinating.
All right, and what are your tips for her, the night terror lady?
Well, first off, to find a good accredited shaman who can, because there's so many out there who can sit down and maybe she needs a spirit animal to help keep her protected when she's sleeping. A spirit animal can help keep her soul and her body protected so these beings can't carry her away.
How does she find an accredited shaman?
There's a magazine here in San Diego. It's called Visions. And it's a new age magazine.
Vision?
Visions.
Okay. Visions. Okay.
You can even go to a Indian a reservation, and they generally have a shaman or they would know somebody. It's gonna take some work to find someone who is good. So anyways, going along with that, I have a story of when I was practicing shamanism.
All right.
I had a friend who I worked with, and he was just a wild, crazy, party animal guy. So I wanted to try my first extraction / spirit animal finding on him. So I went into my trance, and with shamanism, you can actually do astral projection.
Yes.
And you can actually be at the person seeing what they're doing. And so I went into the realm of the spirit animal, and I found a spirit animal, and it happened to be a horse, which is very free, very, very, very spirited. He was a really bad alcoholic, and I literally reached inside his body, and I was pulling out these black ribbons, which was, sorrow, pain, hurtfulness. And I did all this. I came back to my body, and, I felt great. 3 weeks later, he went to Wisconsin, got married, and had a baby.
I love it. And his whole life changed.
His whole life changed, yeah.
Good for you. Some Native American shamans can project themselves into like a bird and literally can be flying, looking down. Truly remarkable. Let's go next to Jose in Tampa, Florida on the Great Storyline. Hey, Jose, how are you?
Okay, how you doing?
Okay, sir.
I would love to get in that prayer line also,
sure.
But this is a story that happened to me when I was a police officer in Connecticut.
Okay.
I worked a late shift. I was going home. It's been about 3 o'clock in the morning or so. And I would take a shortcut to get to my house, which passed the cemetery, which I think the Warrens used to go there all the time. But in the case, this particular night, I'm driving and there's a car with New York plates. It was some kind of initial plates from New York. Stopped at a stop sign, and I'm wondering, why isn't this car moving? There's like no traffic. There's nothing out there. And so I looked at, I looked at the side window, and there was a girl standing there, a young girl, about 19, 20 years old, in a party dress, nice. And I didn't roll my window down. I just cracked it open, and she looked at me, and she goes, how can we get to New York? And I told her, oh, easy, just right where the stop sign you're at now, just make a right. That takes you right into the Merritt Parkway. The Merritt Parkway goes south, and it'll take you right into New York. And so after I said that, my cell phone rang. I picked up my cell phone, and when I looked at the window, she was gone. But then I saw the car make a right-hand turn. So I said, okay, good. At least she must ran to the car or something.
Yeah, and she at least listened to your directions, right?
And she listened to my directions. She made a right. So didn't think anything about it. Okay, I just continued my way home. And then the next night when I went to work, I boarded the town that I worked at, boarded the town where these people were at, where I gave the girl directions to. I worked in Norwalk. The town next door was Westport.
Okay.
And I would get together with the officers from Westport, especially my best buddy was there. He used to be in Norwalk. And we would have coffee. And he tells me, hey, did you see that car that was all smashed up?
Oh, man.
And I said, where? He goes, it's at Steele's Garage. I mean, it was two girls. They were going to a party in Westport, some house party, and they just crashed. I mean, they're both dead. And I said, wow, let me go check that car out. And I go over there. Steele's Garage. It's the exact same car, the exact same New York plates. And I said to myself, wow, you know, I gave this girl directions and then she got killed in an accident. So I went back to him and I said, yeah, I saw that car last night. I gave the girl directions. It was last night. That accident happened 3 days ago.
Oh.
And I said, no, stop joking, man. I remember that it was one girl. I didn't see two girls. I just saw one girl.
You're giving me chills, Jose.
And I told them, I said, and I remember the New York plate, and I remember the whole thing. They wanted to go to the Merritt Parkway. You know, they wanted to get to New York, and I gave them the directions to Merritt Parkway.
They wanted to go home.
My buddy says, look, man, that happened. I can show you the report. I'll pull it. That happened 3 days ago. They had come off the Merritt Parkway, and they were going towards where the party was, and then they wrecked. They went off the road into, like, a ravine, and they wrecked, and that's...
God,
and they both died.
What a story.
Said, that's impossible because I gave her directions last night. And he says, no, you didn't. I said, I did. He said, I remember it was the one that came to me had like a party dress, you know, one of those black dresses, little things. And he goes, yeah, that was the passenger. I said, that's who I gave directions. He said, wait a minute, you just described the girl that died. He said, because he was one of the investigating officers.
Yeah, and he would know.
And yeah, so I was like, oh man, this is weird because I know I'm not going crazy. I know I wasn't sleeping. I mean, this is just not. And always weird things would happen in that area. So you know, it was either go home that way or go home on the turnpike. And I hated the turnpike at that time of night because all you had were trucks. But that happened to me, and it was like I never told anybody. Only he knew about it, and tonight I was listening to your show, and I think Mr. Warren was there. And I don't know if it's the same Warren from Connecticut that would do, like, investigate.
Yeah, it might be, or related to.
Or related to, and that kind of triggered the whole thing all over again. I remember that. I never told anyone about that, and it was like, because I figured they'll think I was nuts or something.
If you had to put everything you owned, Jose, in a court of law, and just say, you know what, if I'm wrong, take everything. Would you say still, I saw that girl?
I saw that girl.
God.
I know I saw, because I when I described what she was wearing, what she looked like, and the car with the initial plate. I mean, you know, it was a New York plate, and it was an initial plate, and I saw the car was the same color. I mean, I was like, when I described it to my buddy, he said, that's the same dress the girl had, and that's the car.
I bet every night.
It was 3 days ago.
They're doing it over and over again, trying to find their way back home.
Yeah,
that's a great story.
It freaked me out. I never saw it again afterwards, but, I mean, I tell you, I would still go through that area, but I mean, it really totally freaked me out. And I've always had kind of, like, weird things, too, because I remember one time I talked to my mom, and I told her, you know, I had a dream that that a bunch of kids were playing in a cemetery. And that a little girl was in one of the holes that they had ready to bury somebody. And she was, you know, screaming, help, help. And I went over and I saw a ladder next to the thing. So I put the ladder down and she came up and then she said, thank you. And then she ran home. And my mother looked at me and she said, that's impossible. And I said, no, mom, that's what I dreamt. And she goes, I was playing, because my mother's from Brazil. She goes, I was playing with my brothers. We were playing in the cemetery, hide and seek. I went down that hole because there was a ladder there. But my brother, who always bothers me, pulled the ladder up. So I was yelling for help because I couldn't get back up. It was too deep. And then she said, a little boy helped me. You know, somebody put a ladder down. And when I came up, I ran home, but I never knew who that kid was. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that was me. I mean, it was the weirdest thing.
Now you're time traveling, Jose, I got to tell you. But you know, for some reason, you might be the receptor for those spirits, especially those girls, for example. For some reason, they're comfortable with you, and they come back and they visit.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
And for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.